Well, good evening. It's good to be back. It's good to have the opportunity to be with the saints and to be able to worship God in such a beautiful fashion as God has prescribed for us. You know, not too long ago, Brother Bonner and I got an opportunity to travel to Little Rock together. And on the way, as is normally the case when I get with Mike, I told him on several occasions, I said, you know, every time we get together, I get a sermon or two. And every time we get together, sooner or later, we're going to be working on a sermon. And so that's what we did on the way up there, at least for a little bit. And then on the way back for a little bit, we worked a little bit. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to finish that sermon. And I thought it might be appropriate, seeing that he's going to be here next week, that seeing that I finished the sermon, or at least to the best of my ability, have finished the sermon, that that might be the sermon that we have tonight. And it's talking about what I thought I would deal with tonight. In the bulletin it said vitamin E. My wife really makes me take all kinds of vitamins. I mean, she has vitamin bottles. I mean, listen, we have whole cabinets. In fact, I'm not so sure that we don't have a section of our kitchen that is vitamin related. And she tells me, now you take this one and 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 so forth and so on. I'm sure maybe some of y'all are burdened with that kind of care on a daily basis, where someone is concerned about you, they care about you, and they want to make sure that you're getting your daily dose of vitamins. And so my wife is certainly one of those individuals that believes that it's very good for her husband to have a daily dose of his vitamins. But now listen, I will tell you if you will not tell her, okay? This is just a secret between you and I. That I can tell when I don't have my vitamins after a couple of days. I can tell that I am in need of those vitamins. I can tell when I have forgotten and I am sluggish. And so just don't tell her that I said that, okay, and we'll be okay. But what I would like for us to do is to talk about that vitamin E. Now, I have no idea what the E is for, okay, on vitamin E. I'm not even going to go there. I could have done the research and put a little Wikipedia snippet in the introduction of my sermon. But then I thought, why? If you don't know what vitamin E is, then that's okay. Your wife's going to give it to you anyway. I mean, that's just the way it works. I got a multivitamin. I don't know what they all are. She just hands me these pills, and I know them by the color. My mother, if I might just take a sidetrack here, my mother takes pills that way too. She takes pills based upon the size and the color. Now, the only problem with that is that she's in hospice. And they don't take from the same distributor always. It's the same medicine, but it comes in a different pill, and it confuses her a lot. And but that's the way you get. So my wife gives me the same pills that are the same color and the same size, so that I don't get confused every day. Because if she just scrambled them all up and said, I want you to pick yours, I wouldn't know which ones they are out of the hundreds of pills that are there. But she places them out for me because she cares for me. I'd like to demonstrate maybe the Bible's care, God's care for us, by looking at some vitamin E's tonight. And our daily growth is an important thing. I love Victor's prayer earlier, where he talked about the growth of this congregation. The only way for this congregation to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is for each individual member of the congregation to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's probably no finer and powerful statement in all of the Bible than Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16 regarding the health and benefit of the body. Paul says there, after he has said in verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. Now that's you and I. We're a part of this joint process that if I do my part and you do your part, you grow and I grow, then we collectively will grow. That which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, so if you do your part and I do my part, and that means that we are all doing our part, then we're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let me give you the first vitamin that you need to take on a daily basis. By the way, these are daily vitamins. We're looking for daily sustenance. We're looking for daily growth and daily energy. And so I need a daily involvement with myself. I need to examine, there's the first E, I need to examine myself. And that needs to be done in order for me to grow on a daily basis. It needs to be examination on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, Paul would state to the Corinthians, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except, the King James says, except you be a reprobate. Except you be a reprobate, a more modern translation might be, except you fail the test. You see? We're to examine. I am preparing for a test every single day of my life. I'm preparing to take this test lest I be found as a failure and get that big, you know, those teachers that I had, they give those big red F's across the top of the page. You know, if you failure, there's nothing worse than seeing that. I didn't mind those D pluses or D minuses. At least that was a passing grade. Now, I understand that almost anything is a passing grade today and has been for some years. I remember when one of my children was in seventh grade, he had some difficulties and was making, I mean, horrible. I said he, that wasn't Caleb. I'll specify that now that I gave you a he. But it was my youngest son, Joshua. He was making 39s on test. Now, you cannot make a 39 and pass. But they were going to pass him anyway. And I said, I don't think so. We did move out of town. Not just for that, but we did move out of town. But I was definitely going to change schools or something. But they just wanted to pass him on. We'll pass him anyway. And I'm like, then why even do the work? I mean, my instruction then to my son would have been, don't do anything. Because if you can pass with a 39, you could probably pass with a 0 too. I mean, if they're going to pass you anyway. We don't want to fail the test. And so we have to have that daily examination of ourselves. Now, some of the things that are necessary for that daily examination of ourselves, let me turn your attention to Acts chapter 17, and we did look at Acts 17 from a different vantage point and 18 from a different vantage point this morning, but in Acts 17 and verse number 11, we have a very familiar verse to us. Generally, the latter part of that verse is more familiar to us than the first part. the latter part which says, search the Scriptures daily to see whether or not these things were so. We're pretty familiar with that aspect of it, but do you notice before that, that there was something that was absolutely essential before they had the mindset to examine the Scriptures? They had a readiness of mind. You see, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they, it says, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were willing to accept the word that Paul preached unto them. In other words, they didn't just cut it off. They just didn't say, well, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to hear anything spiritual. I don't want to hear any conversation about God. I don't want to talk about church. I don't want to talk about religion. They at least had a readiness of mind to hear the instruction. Now, that's the first part of that. The second part is that they were willing to search the Scriptures. And so, as 2 Timothy 2:15, another familiar verse with us, would suggest that we ought to study to show thy, or be diligent to present thyself approved unto God, as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright or correctly the word of God. You see, the only way for you and I to handle the Word of God correctly in this sense is to use it to examine ourselves on a daily basis. It really will not do us a lot of good if the only reason why I read the Bible is to prove somebody else wrong. Now, the Bible does prove people wrong. Those that are wrong are proven wrong by the Bible. But if that's the only reason why I study the Bible, then I have become a, I have failed the test. Because I'm not examining the Scriptures so that somebody else can take the test. This is something that I must do for myself. And it needs to be, as you notice here, they search the Scriptures daily. It was a daily activity with regards to them. I want you to notice, not only did they have that readiness of mind to search the Scriptures, to study the Scriptures daily, but look with me at another familiar passage, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, once I get a ready mind and I begin to consume the Word of God, I begin to cram for the test, in other words, then I need to do some meditating upon the Word of God. It's not just about reading now. I need to be engaged, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I need to be engaged in reading on a regular basis. But meditation is more than reading. I like the way one old-time gospel preacher put it. He said it's kind of like a cow that chews the cud. You know, it's taking it in on a different level each time, a different stomach, a chewing it up, and that's the meditating part. I'm meditating upon the Word of God. In fact, David would speak of the fact that there were times in which he would wake up at, he called it the night watches. He would wake up in the middle of the night, and when he awoke, he would meditate upon the Word of God. There are times in which we may not be able to get any sleep. But what a prime opportunity then to open up the Book of God, to be able to meditate upon it. Notice what Paul told the Philippians. Finally, brethren, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any of good report, he says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate, contemplate, consider these things. You see, so if I'm going to examine myself, then in order to, I'm not going to cram at night, on the last night for this test. By the way, studies show that if I cram at the last minute for a test, it will not go into the deepest resources of my mind. It'll be just there on the surface level, and I will forget it. But if I do this on a daily basis, by the way, Randy probably preaches this at the beginning of school year every year, right? You get those books out. Don't wait until the test. Meditate. Chew that stuff up every single day and you'll be a better student. That's not just true in high school and in college. That's true with regards to the Word of God. And so we need to think on these things, to meditate upon them. So my suggestion is we do it today and we do it without delay. You see, my wife tells me, if you wait to take those vitamins, you're going to forget. And sure enough, by the way, if you won't tell her, okay, sure enough, she is right. When I delay taking those vitamins, if I don't take them with my cereal in the morning or whatever that whatever that pancake is on a stick, I don't know, whatever I get for breakfast that morning, if I don't take it with that, then I'm going to forget it. And somewhere in the middle of the day, you know, I'll see those and they'll be sitting on the cabinet. I'll come home for lunch about 1 or 2 o'clock and I'll see those on the counter and I'll say, I'll get those after lunch. I'll get those afterwards. And sure enough, I'll come home for supper and they're sitting right there again because I have forgotten those. So what we do on a daily basis, let's do it without delay. The second E, another vitamin that we need to take, other than just self-examination, is the idea of exhortation of my brethren every day. Now, I need to examine myself. I need to check and make sure that I can pass the test when it's given. But I also need to help other people take the test. Okay? And in helping other people take that test, it means that I'm going to exhort you to do what is right, to do what is godly every single, and I need to do this on a daily basis. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and let's look at verses 12 and following here. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse number 12. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest there be any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, did you notice that sandwiched on or in between both the evil heart of unbelief and the deceitfulness of sin, there is the answer how not to be deceived with sin. There is the answer in regards to how not to have that hardened heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When he says that we exhort one another daily. That's one of the keys. That's one of the answers in Scripture. So if I'm taking this test and I want other people to pass the test, then we're going to get us a study group together. You see? We're going to help one another pass the test. And a lot of what church, the assembly that we talked about this morning, the assembly is all about, turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. A part of what this is about tonight is that we are exhorting one another. That exhorting is a summons. It's a call to one side. And so you're calling me, and I'm calling you. There is a mutual edification and encouragement that goes on in the assembly. You know, the beauty of the assembly, and we've talked about all of the aspects of our worship today. Every aspect of it is designed with, there's not a single part of communication that is left out when it comes to the assembly. For example, Victor led us in prayer, and his responsibility as a prayer leader is to take our prayers, our supplications, our intercessions, our giving of thanks 1 Timothy 2:1, and take those of the congregation and bring them, here's the communication, from the congregation to the prayer leader to God. That's the communication. Now, I'm doing the preaching tonight. Brother Bonner will be here next week, and his job is going to be able to take the will of God and invest it in himself and then deliver it unto us. So the communication of prayer is from the congregation to God. But the communication of preaching is from God to the congregation. Now that's just two aspects of our worship. When we sing, it is reciprocal in nature. That is, we don't have choirs and solos. There's nobody singing to us in the sense that I am just an audience participant. Well, why is that? Because in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19, the design of worship is for us to reciprocal communication one to another. That is, you're singing to me, I'm singing to you, we're exhorting one another, we're encouraging one another, and all of this is going up to God. So the communication is from me to you, and from you to everybody else, and from us to God. But now that's just three aspects of our worship. You see, and this is designed to encourage and edify and strengthen us in the most holy faith. Now then you think about giving. Giving is a communication in the sense that I am giving to the treasury, and that is going to go out for benevolence. So I'm communicating to those that are without in our assembly that I care about them. I'm communicating to those who are less fortunate or who have some kind of difficulty in their life. I'm communicating to them when we give out of the treasury to help them. I'm communicating to them, right? Galatians 6 and verse number 10. We're doing all that we do first to the saints, first to the people of God, and then others will be benefited as well. Let us do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. But I'm also communicating to the world in not just benevolence, but also in sending out gospel preachers throughout all the world. I'm communicating that I'm caring about their lost soul. When we send funds over to the Philippines, we're communicating to that Filipino preacher, we're communicating to him that we are concerned about his well-being. We're concerned about the souls in the Philippines, you see. There's a communication. It's a put your money where your mouth is kind of thing. But now, that's the communication level of giving. Now the Lord's Supper. The communication level there. See, we're exhorting one another. You think about what we're doing when we partake of the Lord's Supper. The first thing that we're doing is that we are looking back. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that this is a memorial. You know, it's a shame that we have to remind people of this today, but this is not a celebration. This is a memorial. There is a big difference. You want to go to a concert, you can celebrate, but this is a memorial, and we are remembering the death of somebody. You see? We're remembering how awesome and gruesome that death really was, and the benefit that you and I get out of it. And so it's a memorial. We're in remembrance of me. But also, there's a self-examination that is going on. I need to do this in the right manner, in the right frame of mind, as I am partaking of the Lord's Supper. And then I am proclaiming to the world that I believe in the resurrection. I'm proclaiming His death and the benefits of that death every time that I partake of the Lord's Supper. And then I'm looking forward because I'm doing it till He comes again. So I've got in my own mind, I've got a communication back to the first century. I've got a communication to all the world out there that I believe what I'm doing, that I believe in Jesus. I've got a communication to everyone here. I stand with you. in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I am looking forward to that time when He will come again, and I'm examining myself. Now, all of this is worship to God. Not a single aspect of our communication. See, what I'm talking about, hold your finger on Hebrews chapter 10 and drop back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want you to notice something that I don't think we notice very often with regards to the assembly. It is vitally important. And I get asked this sometimes about, you know, about preachers using big words and fancified speeches and things such as that. And I tell them, number one, you need to consider who your audience is. And number two, you need to make sure above all things that you are communicating your message. See, if I stand up here and I use words that do not really communicate. That is, you don't understand, and probably I don't understand afterwards I'm using. I could read that, and that would, you know, it might make me look good. It might make me look intellectual. That would be really hard to do, by the way. But what I'm saying is that if there is no communication, there is no proper worship. There is no edification. Notice what he says here, beginning in verse number 26. This is 1 Corinthians 14. How is it then, brethren, that when you come together, everyone hath a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, hath an interpretation? He says, let all things be done unto edifying. So if you have a psalm, then it has to be done to the edifying of the brethren. If you have a, in the first century, if you have a tongue, then it has to be done to where there's edification. By the way, we talked about this morning. If there is no interpreter, there is no edification. If you have three prophets and they're all prophesying at the same time and you can't hear any one of them, there is no edification. Thus the prophecies are subject unto the prophets. They need to learn to shut up and preach in order rather than preaching over one another. But he says, let all things be done unto edifying. Now, in the assembly, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as much as you see the day approaching. There is a daily exhortation in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13. And there is a weekly exhortation, or an exhortation that goes on in the assembly. So we should see one another during the week so that we can encourage one another. And every Sunday I get the opportunity to encourage one another. See, I need to be about encouraging my brethren. Now, Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it's verse number 15, he would say that he did this in a fatherly manner. Now, notice what he says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verse number 11. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his own children. And so Paul, as a preacher, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, wanted to encourage and edify and build up the church, and he did so as a father would build up and strengthen his children. And so we ought to consider the manner in which we edify one another. By the way, if a father or a preacher or a member is always negative, I mean, if a son grows up to where he can never do anything right, I don't care if he wins the Olympics, the father has something to say about, well, you didn't jump as high as you did last time, or whatever it might be. You didn't do this as well. You know, can you imagine Michael Phelps, I guess he's won like 70 zillion gold medals opposed to, you know, whatever it is. He owns the record, broke the record since, what was the last record, 72 B.C. or something like that. And all of a sudden, can you imagine his dad coming up to him after he's won 18 and 19 Olympic golds and his dad coming up to saying, well, boy, you didn't swim very fast today. Hello, I broke records today and I didn't swim as fast. But you know, let me tell you, that's the way some of us are. We are engaged in worship and something catches our attention and we've got to make sure that we hound that for the next 30 days. We're just going to make sure every time, you know, if every time I talked to Jerry about song leading, I had something negative to say, you know what Jerry would say? Here's the song book. At least if I was Jerry, that's what I would say. You know, oftentimes, I'll be honest with you, I wanted to hand my Bible to some of y'all, not y'all, but I mean brethren, and say, here, you preach next week. Come on. If you think it's so easy and you think you can do it, just come on. I'll let you do it next week. Well, that'd be up to the elders. But it wouldn't bother me one bit. If you think you can outdo me, just come on. Let's do it. You see, preaching ain't as easy if you're doing it every week. Listen, it's easy for some of these guys that go around the nation to woo and to awe somebody because they have about 10 lessons that they've preached over the last 10 years. And they've perfected those 10 lessons. And when they come into a congregation, people say, wow, I wish our preacher could preach like that. Well, he could. If you'd let him preach one sermon for the next 10 years, he could preach that sermon like that. But if you've got to develop a different sermon 3 to 4 times a week for the same group of people, brethren, it ain't that easy. So maybe we could be a little kinder to Mike when he gets in and not meet him at the door the very first time and say, well, I see that you preached about 31 and a half minutes. We're going to have to work on that, boy. You know, maybe we ought to show him just a little bit. You don't have to show me any because I ain't going to listen to you anyway. No, that's not true. I will. But the idea is we encourage one another, right? We ought to be about building one another up. Now, sometimes that requires a rebuke. There's no doubt about that. But if that's our modus operandi, there's something wrong with us. Now, number 3, this third pill. We got to get this pill down quickly. Okay? Evangelism. Now, I'm going to examine myself every day. I'm going to be about edifying my brethren, strengthening my brethren every day. And I'm going to reach out to those that are lost every single day. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm not sure that we think about this passage. We ought to. But I'm not sure that we think about this passage from the vantage point of evangelism. But listen very carefully to it, as he says in verse number 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, or I have helped thee. He says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, he says, now is the day of salvation. Now, if you can't get daily out of that, you need to reread that particular text. Now, today, that's the day of salvation. That may be, by the way, the only day that that person that you have met, that may be the only day that they will ever hear the gospel story. That they may ever be invited to the Lord's church to be able to hear the grand and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That may be the only time when you sit down with them and you invite them into your home to study the Bible. That may be the only time that they have that. Nobody else may care enough to invite them in. Nobody else may care enough to talk to them about the Lord's church. But today is the day of salvation. It is the day in which we need to bring help to people who are lost and dying. And so, I realize I've got a little bit more in my notes, but we've had to swallow this pill a little quicker than the other two. So, here's my encouragement to you tonight. that every day you need to seek to open up your Bible so as to examine yourself. That every day, once you have consumed the Word of God, examined yourself, helped yourself to pass the test, I want you to think about other people. I want you to think about your brethren. I want you to think about how you can help your brother and sister in Christ pass the test. And then once we've done that, I want you to think about those who are lost and who will die without the gospel story. And I want you to invite them to hear the story. Whether that is an invitation for you to sit down with them or an invitation for you to invite them to sit down with somebody that you know that can tell the story. You see, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So we have taken our 3 daily vitamins of E. Whatever E is for in the real world, I don't know. But I know in this world tonight, it is all about examining ourselves, edifying our brethren, and evangelizing the lost. Now, my friends, I've just explained to you in vitamin terms what gospel preachers have said for years is the work of the church. That is the work of the church. And so I want to encourage you to do it and to do it today. And I promise you this, as we close, I promise you this. The religion of Christ is not too flimsy that it cannot take on daily activity. You know, there are some people that got clothes. I don't got these kind of clothes. But there are some people that got clothes that can't be worn every day. They're fragile, you know, and they're made for special events and you wear them. Christianity is not something you wear occasionally. It is something that, listen, test it out with me. Let's try this. Let's test it out. Let's practice our Christianity every day and see if we can wear it out. I promise you this. You cannot wear it out. Now, it may be that you have not been practicing Christianity at all. It may be that you're a child of God, yet you have not been practicing. Listen, if you had to take the test, there's that big, fat, red F that comes back on your paper. Listen, on the day of judgment, you do not want an F on the report card. Now listen, there are only 2 things you can get on a report card at the judgment. A+ and F. That's it. Because there's only eternity in blessings and eternity in cursings. There's only a heaven and there's only a hell, and that's it. You're either going to hear, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant," or "Depart from me, for I know you not." Those are the only 2 options that you're going to hear. Now, I want you to hear that good word. I want you to hear the encouraging word. But that depends somewhat upon you. God has done everything within His power to give you the blessings that you need in order to make it to heaven. Your brethren here love you. Your family loves you. Everything about God's people is love for those who stand outside, who are not passing the test. We want you to pass the test. But the only way for you to pass the test is for you to repent of your sin. And so we're going to offer the invitation of Jesus for you to do just that tonight. It may be that you're here and you're not a member of the body of Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you will repent of all of your past sins, confess the sweet name of Jesus, and be buried in that watery grave of baptism, He has promised you that He'll help you pass the test. You will pass it with His help. But if there's any way we can help aid you, please come as together we stand and sing.